Okay, so for anybody out there wading through intellectual property law and specifically design patents, I think we've got a case that's worth looking at today. High Point Design v. Buyers Direct.
Definitely.
A lot of times people think about design patents as, purely aesthetic, but this case really shows you that there are some really significant legal distinctions that you got to pay attention to when you're talking about visual design.
Yeah, absolutely. And the case really has some real life implications for litigation.
Right.
So it's not just a, a fight over who has the better slipper design.
Right,
It's
yeah.
it really helps anyone studying IP because it clearly defines the legal boundaries of, what makes a design patent valid or when a design is considered anticipated, so it can't be patented. And, really when a product infringes on a design patent that already exists, and then there's some procedural things that happen in this case that also highlight some important litigation strategy considerations.
Okay, so let's break this down. So High Point versus Buyers Direct, we're talking about slippers, right?
Yep, slippers.
Okay, so what happened here? What started all this?
So Buyers Direct Incorporated, or BDI,
Okay.
they had a design patent for their snoozy slippers.
Okay.
And they believed that High Point Design's FUZZY Babe slippers were too similar and infringed on their patent. So High Point actually sued first
Oh.
after they got a cease and desist letter from BDI. So they were trying to get ahead of it.
Interesting.
They wanted the court to say that their FUZZY Babe slippers didn't infringe and that actually BDI's patent shouldn't have been granted in the first place. It was invalid.
Oh, wow.
So then BDI counterclaimed and said, no, we think you're infringing, and we also think that you're infringing on what's called our trade dress,
Okay.
which is the overall look and feel of a product that identifies it as coming from a particular source.
Got it.
So it went back and forth.
So this slipper disagreement, turned into like a huge legal battle with
Exactly.
design patents and trade dress.
Huge. Yeah.
So what happened in the lower court initially?
So the district court granted summary judgment for High Point pretty early on.
Okay.
They said that BDI's patent was invalid because it was obvious,
Okay.
which means it wasn't sufficiently new or inventive
Oh.
based on slipper designs that already existed.
I don't know.
And they also dismissed the trade dress infringement claims from BDI, but then the Federal Circuit,
Okay.
which is the appellate court specifically for patent cases, they reviewed the decision
Right.
and they said, no, you used the wrong legal standard for obviousness.
Wow. Oh,
So they reversed it.
so they send it back and they're like, try again, but with the right rules this time.
Exactly.
Okay, so what happened when it goes back to the district court for round two?
So this time the district court still ruled for High Point, but for different reasons.
Okay.
They said this time that BDI's design patent was actually anticipated
Okay.
by an earlier design, a slipper made by Woolrich.
Okay.
And they also said that the FUZZY BBA slippers didn't infringe on BDI's design patent because they looked different enough.
Okay. And importantly, the district court also denied BDI's request for more time to gather evidence, which is like the discovery phase of a case. And they also denied BDI's request to change their legal arguments by amending their complaint.
Okay, so BDI basically struck out on all fronts in the district court the second time around.
Yeah.
So their patent was invalid, High Point didn't infringe,
Huh.
and they couldn't even try to like pursue anything further in that court.
Right.
So I'm assuming this goes back to the Federal Circuit.
It does, yeah.
Okay, so what were the legal questions before them this time?
So there were four main issues that the Federal Circuit had to grapple with. So
Okay.
first, did the district court mess up when they found that BDI's patent was anticipated by the Woolrich design? Second, did they make a mistake when they said there was no design patent infringement by High Point?
Okay.
Third, did the district court improperly deny BDI's request for more discovery?
Right.
And fourth, was it wrong for them to refuse BDI's request to amend their complaint?
Okay, so there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, a lot of different issues. All right, so let's start with that first issue, anticipation.
Okay.
So the district court said that the Woolrich slipper was similar enough to BDI's snoozies to basically invalidate the patent.
Right.
But the Federal Circuit disagreed.
Yeah, they did.
So what's the legal standard for anticipation in this context?
So for a design patent to be anticipated, meaning it's not really a new thing,
Okay.
and it shouldn't have been patented in the first place, the law requires you to find just one prior art reference that is identical in all material respects to the patented design.
Okay.
So in this case, it was the Woolrich slipper.
Got it.
So the Federal Circuit, they looked at the Woolrich design and BDI's Snoozy's side by side.
Okay.
And they said, well, there are some pretty noticeable differences.
Like what?
So, for example, the Woolrich slipper looked like it had a more structured sole, whereas the Snoozy's design looked more floppy and unstructured.
Interesting.
And the placement of the fuzzy material also seemed to be different between the two.
Okay.
So the Federal Circuit said because of these differences.
It wasn't clear that the two designs were really identical in all material respects. So they said the district court shouldn't have granted summary judgment on that anticipation issue. They should let it go to trial and had a jury decide.
Interesting.
Because they said the soles alone, you can clearly see that they're different.
So even though both of them are slippers, you're saying that just that sole difference
Yeah.
could be enough to say, well, they're not identical in all material respects.
Right. And it's not just that they're similar. They have to be basically the same.
Okay.
Like finding an exact duplicate, so even small, consistent differences
Okay.
can be enough to prevent a finding of anticipation.
So this is a really high bar then.
Very high.
Okay, so moving on to infringement now.
Okay.
The district court said that the FUZZY Babby slipper didn't infringe on the Snoozy's patent,
Right.
and the Federal Circuit agreed with that.
They did.
So what's the test for design patent infringement?
So the test is called the ordinary observer test.
And it basically asks, would an ordinary person, someone who's familiar with the different types of designs that are out there, which is the prior art, would they be tricked into thinking that the accused product, which is the FUZZY Bubbo, was the same as the patented design, which is the Snoozies?
Right.
So it's really about the overall visual impression that each design gives you.
Got it.
And the Federal Circuit agreed with the district court that the Snoozies design, even just in the drawings, it looked more structured,
Okay.
whereas the FUZZY Baba slippers looked softer and formless. They said the designs give you different impressions.
Interesting.
So because they had distinct visual impressions, the Federal Circuit said a reasonable person wouldn't confuse the two. So
Okay.
there's no design patent infringement.
So it's not about like an expert looking at them side by side and like going through all the little details.
It's really like a gut reaction. Does it look like the same product if you just glance at it?
Okay, so even though they're both slippers, obviously that difference between one looking structured and one looking soft and formless, that was enough to legally differentiate them.
Enough.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about the procedural stuff now.
All right.
So BDI wanted additional discovery and they wanted to amend their complaint, but they weren't allowed to.
Right.
Why did the Federal Circuit agree with those decisions?
So this part of the case shows how important it is to follow the court's rules and deadlines.
I see.
Okay, so with the discovery, BDI waited until super late in the case to ask for more evidence. And the court was basically like, you had plenty of time to ask for this before, you can't just wait till the last minute.
Right.
And the Federal Circuit agreed with that.
Okay.
And then with the complaint, BDI missed the deadline that the court set to change their legal arguments.
Okay.
So to do that after the deadline, you have to show good cause for why you missed it.
Right.
And the Federal Circuit agreed that BDI didn't have a good enough reason.
So they messed up.
Yeah,
Basically.
they dropped the ball.
Okay, so this seems like a huge lesson learned, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Even if your legal argument is strong, if you don't follow the rules and timelines, you're in trouble.
Big trouble.
Okay, so to recap everything from our deep dive into High Point versus Buyers Direct,
Okay.
the standard for anticipation is very strict and identical in all material respects.
Right.
The Federal Circuit found enough differences between the two slippers, especially with the soles
Yeah.
and the fuzzy material, that a jury should have decided if they were actually identical.
Yeah, they should have looked at it more closely.
So it's not just about them being similar. They
Right.
have to be like almost exactly the same.
Exactly like a Where's Waldo situation.
Right. You have to find the exact same design.
Exactly.
Okay, so the second thing is the infringement analysis uses the ordinary observer test, and the focus is on the overall visual impression.
Yes.
So even though both were slippers, that difference between one looking structured and one looking soft and formless was enough to say there was no infringement.
That's right.
So again, we're talking about that gut feeling from a regular person,
Right, not an expert.
not like looking at them under a microscope.
Exactly.
And then finally, you know, BDI messed up by not being on time with their discovery requests and missing the deadline to change their arguments, and that really hurt their case.
Yeah, it did.
So following those rules and deadlines is super important.
Super important.
Wow. So what's interesting here is that it wasn't even really about the legal arguments.
Right.
It was about like these little procedural details.
Yeah, procedure matters.
Right. So for everyone listening out there,
yeah,
you know, we don't usually think much about the small details we see every day.
Yeah.
But in design patent law, those little differences can be really significant.
Absolutely.
So you really have to, you know, think about the whole design, not just individual pieces.
The whole picture.
Okay. And then stepping back even further,
mm-hmm.
you know, this case shows how important strategy is in intellectual property litigation.
Definitely.
Like when to ask for more evidence and how important it is to meet court deadlines.
They can make or break your case.
Yeah, for sure. So here's a final thought for all the future lawyers out there.
Okay.
How could these principles we've talked about, you know, the overall visual impression, the strict standard for anticipation, and all the procedural rules,
yeah,
how could those apply to other areas of IP law or even litigation in general?
That's a good question.
It's definitely something to think about.
Definitely something to chew on.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.